Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Gary White, Dreamweaver, all-time favorite. We're always glad that you could join us on the air as we explore, expand, and keep ourselves awakened. This is a time for us to listen more intently, listen more with a sense of sincerity as to what the interior world is trying to signal to you and to me as to how we can be better citizens of this planet. I was at a meeting yesterday, and it was such a refreshing meeting because we met with a variety of congressional leaders, and we went to the White House and met with some incredible individuals behind the happenings and the workings of the White House. And I think when we get a broader perspective, it does give us a deeper insight as to how best can we help or how best can we support a narrative that can move us closer to grace and to a more positive vision of ourselves and of our world. And I ask you to do the same. I ask you to open up your horizons within your being, your soul, and ask your own soul, what is it that your soul needs at this time? And what do you need to invest in? What you need to say, I'm pulling out my investment here. I don't think it's worth me continuing to offer any more in this area. And I say this because I don't even know what our children are going through when they look at the conversations that are taking place publicly. Media is such a huge tool. We cannot even curtail our children anymore what to watch and what not to watch due to the fact that it's so overwhelming. And parents can only observe their children as much as possible without even taking away their own identity. And the thing is, I always ask myself, and I always also share with a lot of our friends, what did we do before a beeper, a cell phone, a computer, Facebook, Twitter were around? What did we used to do? And we used to spend more time together. We used to maybe value each other, but also I would say that perhaps we were also more attached. When things move so fast, you find that you don't hold on to things as much. Sometimes the soul has this habit of just this tendency of attaching or holding on, and I think we're almost getting acclimated as well to let go of attachments, to reduce the energy of attachment more, and to be more progressive, more free-flowing, more consistent, and that change is inevitable. So it's so important for us to ask our souls, you know, soul, what do you need now? What do you need now? And what is it that I need to offer you based on the quality of thoughts, the thoughts that I need to percolate, to nurture in the soul? Two people can use a knife. One can use it to perform an operation to make somebody better, and the other can use a knife to hurt someone because maybe they're going to rob them, or maybe they caught them in a negative scene and then they said, I'm going to take your life, or maybe it's just some deep-rooted karma of the past that it's just not able to transform its perception or its interpretation of, well, how can I use this knife? So you get what I'm trying to say. Check your thoughts. Your thoughts will direct you to the way you live your life, the way, W-A-Y, the way you live. Billions of us sit down every day, and billions of us get up every day from a seat. How do you do it? What is the way you sit in your seat? Do you just drop in a seat, or do you sit in a seat with grace and dignity and divinity? It's about our thinking. What's going on in the soul? How are we treating our soul? These are my questions for you to use as your homework assignment today, because I think our soul needs a little bit more love and a little bit more attention. We continue to send our pure feelings and good wishes to our country. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of deep-seated emotions that are emerging in ways that we've never seen before. We didn't even know that they were always there, but they were. And these deep-seated emotions are revealing quite a lot of unnecessary, uncomfortable experiences inside of our spirit. And we're grappling. We're grappling because a lot of us are still projecting the blame outside of ourselves. And even if you are truly honest with yourself, if while you are projecting your blame on something outside of you or someone outside of you, and your spirit is feeling disturbed, and your spirit is losing its peace, and your spirit cannot value, respect, or love the person that you're blaming, you're part of the problem. I know we hate to hear that, but truly we are a part of the problem. And so we are in an age to fix ourselves. Not to say that we're a mess or we're broken, but I have to tell you, I think we've ignored ourselves for too long, and we're now dealing with the consequences of what ignoring the self for too long can create. And so we might have a particular individual that might be signaling this is what it turns out like when you don't really care about everyone on the planet, when you don't at least honor the fact that we are all here to contribute, to offer something. Some of us lose sight of that, and we end up on the other end of that spectrum, and we become the takers, and we think we're only here to take. We could see what the planet is going through, hurricanes after hurricanes, earthquakes after earthquakes. The earth is purging because we've been distributing to it such filth that she basically goes, I need to clean up my act. I don't know about all of you. And she purges. And I believe that when you get onto the path of self-reflection and spirituality, meditation, introspection, self-help, we're purging thoughts that we've become too familiar with. Thoughts that are influenced by intentions that are rooted in ego, in attachment, greed, jealousy, insecurity, judgment, criticism. These are thoughts that symbolize to us that we're not awake, we're still sleeping. We're not really living, we're just, I guess, alive. The soul is still in the body, but it doesn't have any life. It's not alive, it's not living its real life's purpose. And so I invite you to percolate on these reflections because I consider them to be absolutely priceless in these times. If you really want to be on the top of your game, if you really want to make an impact on the planet, take care of your spirit. Feed your spirit. Deal with your spirit in a way that it honors and gives value that you really need at a core level. So you're listening to the America Meditating Radio 24/7 online, on podcasts, iTunes, also on Spreaker, and Google Play as well. We were happy that they were able to sign us up as well. And, you know, it's been 4 years that we've been doing the show so far. And the incredible learning curve for me and my staff has been a blessing. And also the learning curve that I hear from all of you who tune in on a regular basis. I appreciate your thoughts and I appreciate the fact that it's doing something good for your life. Let's take a moment and go into a meditation. Inclusion Revolution is on my new album. And it's all about finding ways in which we can live together. Take a deep breath. Take this moment and settle inside yourself. Breathe in and exhale. At this moment, I gradually allow my thoughts to settle into peace. And carefully, I observe these thoughts, and I am able to sense if I, the being of consciousness, am in harmony with myself. As a soul, the soul feels everything, whether it is aware of it or not.
the heart, even though physical, signals to either soul if I'm embracing or resisting, if I'm including or excluding, if I'm loving or if I'm hateful. So behind these eyes sits the living soul. In fact, I've come to realize that we are all souls, so we are all the same. Our stories are different, but we are the same in the form of being a soul. And that means we're all included. The soul feels uncomfortable when it excludes anyone because of an attachment to religion, race, gender, nationality, even the body. And every time I find myself excluding someone from my story, I too am excluded from another story. When we hurt, it's a sign that we're in need of a powerful lesson. So sitting in this meditation, I open myself to an unfolding, larger connection for either soul. I'm a giver and a receiver of light. And in this consciousness of light, I can embrace the community of all souls and respect every soul for the journey that they're on, inwards and upwards. We all come from the same source, the divine, the source of love, peace, purity, kindness, and truth. As I sit here in this awareness, I can see and I can feel many things I have in common with another. I can feel that my story is included with theirs and theirs with mine. And this natural awareness of inclusivity, when I think and speak and listen and see from behind my eyes, I release stereotypes and illusions from my world, because I, the soul, am energy, light, the life force. When I'm aware of this, I'm living a life of inclusivity. The more I experience the real I, the more I live from the source of love and kindness. I am a warrior of inclusivity, and I carry my weapons of love to include all and to be included by all. My journey is one from inwards and upwards, bringing with the real I a natural state of power and beauty. As a warrior of inclusivity, I'm unstoppable. in my every move towards peace, unity, and love. Om Shanti.
Welcome back. That was Inclusion Revolution. I hope you enjoyed it. It's all about bringing us all together so that we can maybe model a more positive approach towards our sense of leadership and presence. And speaking about leadership today, Cheryl Rice is the founder of Your Voice, Your Vision. Cheryl is a leadership coach, author, speaker, and social entrepreneur. Cheryl works with women eager to become leaders in their own lives, and she has been working with clients to improve individual, team, and executive performance since 1990. She has worked in multiple industries, including healthcare, finance, and technology. Her essays and commentaries have appeared in local and national publications, including the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Chicago Tribune, Maria Shriver's blog, and much more. Cheryl is also author of Where Have I Been All My Life? A Journey Toward Love and Wholeness, the memoir of her life that continues to inspire others to understand their worth despite troubling circumstances that may endure. See, in 2016, Cheryl founded the You Matter Marathon, a global kindness and community building program in 59 countries. While working on her master's degree at Pepperdine, she completed groundbreaking research on the relationship between emotional intelligence and team performance. Today, we proudly welcome Cheryl Rice to the air. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Sister Jenna. Thank you for having me.
Great. Lovely to have you on the air. Tell us a little bit about the You Matter Marathon and how it actually emerged.
I'd be delighted to. The You Matter Marathon is, as you said, a global kindness initiative to create positive connections between individuals and within communities. And the way it came about was actually almost 2 years ago now, a colleague gave me a business-sized card with only the words, You Matter, on it. And I was so touched, I felt like I had been hugged. So I came home and I ordered my own You Matter cards. And I started giving them out, first just to family and friends, and then I became a little bit bolder and started giving them out to people in my community who I interact with, like the person at the grocery or the person at my dry cleaners. And then one day, Sister Jenna, I had an experience that moved me to the next level with the possibility for these You Matter cards. I was in a grocery store standing behind a woman who was checking out, and the cashier asked her how she was doing, and she said, "Not so good. My husband just lost his job, my son is not doing well, and I just don't know how I'm going to get through the holidays." And then I saw her take out her wallet to pay with food stamps. And in that moment, I froze, to be honest with you. I wasn't sure what to do. Should I offer to pay for her groceries or ask for her husband's resume? I didn't do anything. And she leaves the store, and then I continue to check out myself. And it wasn't until we were both in the parking lot returning our carts that I got up my nerve to go up to her. And I said, "Excuse me, I couldn't help but overhear you're having a really hard time right now. I just want you to have this." And I gave her a You Matter card, and she started to cry. And she said, "You have no idea what this means to me." And she asked for a hug. And we hugged, and then I went back to my car, and I started to cry. And it was at that moment, Sister Jenna, that I really felt the transformational opportunity and power of this card and the gesture. And that's what began my quest to inspire other people to have this experience and create the You Matter Marathon, where I invite people to sign up and share one You Matter card a day during November.
Isn't it amazing how sometimes the smallest acts of goodness and kindness can impact the life of so many, but especially of ourselves? Cheryl, let our listeners get to know a little bit about the soul of Cheryl. When she looks back at her life and she does her own personal life review, what will she find was her most compelling strength that has brought her to where she is today?
What a powerful question, Sister Jenna. My most compelling strength that has brought me to this moment today, I believe, the word that comes to mind is grit and grace. Grit and grace. Grit in that I think I'm someone who has been on a quest to find my own sense of mattering. Thus the title of my book, Where Have I Been All My Life, was really, to be honest, a quest to matter. And that questing has drawn on my sense of grit, which is passion and purpose towards long-term goals. And I think without that grit and having also the grace to want to be of service while I'm on this planet, on this part of my journey, those two things have, more than anything, allowed me to grow and contribute in ways that feel affirming, not just for my growth, but for the growth of others and the growth of, frankly, our common humanity.
Beautiful, because I believe that now this program, is it still running? Is You Matter still
yes,
running?
Yes, in fact, yes, oh, okay. Yes, it's still running. In fact, people, if I can tell you how people can sign up, and I will send people 30 You Matter cards for free while supplies last, no matter where they are in the world. So people can do that at youmattermarathon.com. And again, this is not a running race. This is really a race of the heartstrings. This is a race to restore our common humanity. And as you were saying in your comments earlier so beautifully, you know, before technology, we knew how to do this. We knew how to look people in the eye. We knew how to open doors for each other. We knew how to touch each other as part of our way of being. And we knew our interdependence, and it seems that lately that knowledge, which I do believe is inherent, has been tested. And so it takes something as simple like this gesture to remind us of how interconnected we are and how essential it is for us to remind each other that we need each other and how connected we are. And what you said earlier was so true also. It's not just the people reactions when they receive a You Matter card, Sister Jenna. It's what it does for the people who give the cards, that reinforcement of our own significance. And I think that's why this is such a powerful gesture and, if you will, an intervention at a global level.
It's beautiful because, especially at a time where, you know, we hear Black Lives Matter, Immigrants Matter, I think everyone matters. Everybody matters, and perhaps one of the most challenging experiences that we've all felt at one point or the other is a sense of being valued or to be seen or to be acknowledged. I was remembering the story of a young boy in school who kept holding his hand up for the teacher to acknowledge him to give an answer, and he went home quite sad after many, many scenes of not being seen. And his mama looked at him and says, "What's the matter, hon? You look so sad." And he responded to his mother by saying, "Mom, every time I hold my hand up to give an answer to my teacher, she doesn't see me." And I think this importance of being seen to say, you matter here on the planet, and perhaps I would love to hear what your story is. And by hearing somebody else's story, it just might help me to understand my story even more. In terms of even your story, what for you up until this point can you just maybe point out has mattered a lot to you, apart from You Matter, and apart from You Matter Marathon? Something that mattered to you a lot that you can say, you know, it has driven you to be a better human being.
Absolutely. Well, I will say, actually, the death of my mom, I lost my mom about 7 years ago, and that loss. We were very close, and it was a very unexpected loss, and I wasn't prepared. I was an adult woman. I was in my early 40s, and yet I still felt unprepared to live on the earth without her in a physical form, and I think that experience really catalyzed a very profound opportunity for me to grow and to learn how to become the champion for myself that my mother had been for me. And I thought I had done that work earlier, Sister Jenna, but I learned after my mother's passing that one of the reasons I was in such grief after she left was because I didn't know how to really be on my own side and create a sense of safety and belonging for myself. I had depended on her for that. And ironically, as a life and leadership coach, one of my favorite things to do is champion other women and help them discover their voice. That's the name of my business, Your Voice, Your Vision. I mean that very, very sincerely. Helping other women cultivate their own sense of voice and value is work I feel passionate about. And I feel so passionately about it because it has been my life's work. And again, when my mom passed relatively suddenly, I had to go even deeper and learn how to reclaim my voice and learn how to befriend myself in a much deeper and consistent and abiding way than I had at that point up in my life. And that's been amazing work, really making treasure out of tragedy. And that's what I think we all want to do as we continue to grow. We're not in charge of what happens to us, but we are in charge of the meaning we make from our life experiences. And so that's where, again, the grit and grace served me well. And just a lot of time being quiet, a lot of time journaling, a lot of time reaching out to wise people who would listen to my story and help me come to hear my own voice. And again, not just to hear it, but to value it and learn how to soothe it and take care of myself.
Sorry to hear about your mom. I know what it must be like to not live with your best friend. It's quite an uncomfortable experience. America, does it matter anymore? It's going through so much at this time. And if you were to offer anything to our nation at this time, what would you offer?
I would offer the invitation for people to look up and look out and look for ways every day to honor the other despite any perceived differences. What we have in common, our shared humanity, is much greater than what divides us. And I would invite people every day to find at least one way of reaching out and truly seeing and honoring the other. And then inherent in that will be an honoring of self.
Beautiful. We've been losing a lot of lives in America lately, and the past few months have been quite grappling, to say the least. Would it be possible for us to hold just a moment of pure feelings and good wishes for the families that are grappling with losing loved ones, the ones who have transitioned, because their souls are also wondering, where am I? I was at a concert and all of a sudden I'm not here anymore. And for a country that I'm not sure if it's opened to a spiritual solution towards its progression, so to speak, can we hold a moment of silence and acknowledge that everybody matters, that you do matter, that we all matter?
Beautiful.
Thank you. Do you have any closing remarks that you would like to offer our listeners?
Gratitude. Gratitude to you and your listeners for putting out such amazing positivity, spirituality, and grace. And I'm just so very, very grateful. And I invite people, if they care to share in this message, we're very easy to find at You Matter Marathon, and to find ways of continuing to open our hearts, open our eyes, and open our souls to what's possible. Thank you so much, Sister Jenna.
Thank you, Cheryl. Have a good one. So You Matter, everyone. Cheryl Rice has just shared with us. Go to her website, youmattermarathon.com, and let somebody know that they do matter. You know, let somebody know you really matter. Your life, your presence, if it's negative, if they're giving you some negative vibrations, negative stuff, maybe it's a good time to tell them, you know, you really matter, and I'm not sure if you know that, if you recognize that, because I don't know if you'd be treating me like that. You know, just, I can see so many ways that you could use this to sort of help mankind to be a lot more sane of a place to inhabit. Thanks to Cheryl Rice for her beautiful initiative and work that she's doing on the planet. So friends, it's so priceless for me to acknowledge your presence when you're with me on the air. And I couldn't end the show without having our incredible author, Diane Tillman, from her parenting guidebook, to give us some aspiring ideas of how we can manage what our children are going through to be able to talk with them. And so here is Diane Tillman, who will be sharing with us a thought about what to do because of the Las Vegas tragedy that we've witnessed recently.
Good morning. This is Diane Tillman. the author of Nurturing with Love and Wisdom, Disciplining with Peace and Respect. I've been asked to share a few thoughts in the aftermath of Las Vegas. As we all know, a few days ago, a tragic and deadly mass shooting took place there. One lone perpetrator killed 58 people and injured close to 500 more. It would be wonderful if your children didn't hear about this senseless violence. And if they are young, I'm sure you managed to shield them from this news. But for older children and young adults, how do we help them cope? I went to a Catholic school from kindergarten to third grade when I was little. And one strong and beautiful memory is that whenever we heard a siren, we would all stand up and pray together. Prayer and meditation for all souls affected by violence is a wonderful practice for children and adults. I believe our peaceful thoughts and loving good wishes help souls proceed on their journey and give their families and friends comfort and strength. So perhaps in public places or in schools, as we have so many different religions in our country, we could stand together in silence and silently do our prayers and meditation. In families, perhaps gather in a family hug or in a circle holding hands and pray together or meditate together. And afterwards, allow each person to voice a positive thought for those who have passed or are injured or their family and friends. Or perhaps a hope for our community or the world. Also, allow your children to share their feelings, their emotions, whatever they are. Listen with an open heart, listen with respect, listen with sincerity, and allow them to voice whatever they want to voice. Actively listen. And if they ask questions, answer with whatever facts that you have. But also reassure them. Reassure them of their safety. And they may question that because, Mom, what if I was there? And sometimes we don't have an answer. But one thing we can say is, I always feel safe because I always practice surrounding myself in God's love and light. And even if this body were to die, I know that I am loved by God. And I know that I love you eternally, and you love me eternally, for forever. And so I don't worry about this. I know that our love is always going to be there, and I feel that we are safe. And I know that we're all builders of peace, and I think that will help us be safe, and I think it will help us create a safe community. Another thing you can do is, give your children the opportunity to voice what they would like to say to the perpetrator if he were alive. Now he's not, but what would they like to say to that soul or to anyone that did such things? You can simply go around in a circle again and have each one say what they wish to say, or you can make a peace puppet, and the peace puppet can talk to the puppet of violence, the puppet of war, and say, I want you to know that. It's important that you know that. Do you realize it is wrong too? So give them a voice so they can come out of their victimhood. Another way you can do something to help them cope is they can draw. Some children and young adults may want to draw a scene of what happened that Sunday night at the concert, if it's stuck in their heads, or they can draw what they would like, or they can draw part on one half of the paper, part on the other half of the paper. Allow them to express it. Drawing can release more emotions, but then discuss it and say, what anti-values allowed this violence to happen, and what values allow this peaceful, loving world to happen? Help educate their hearts by having them see the tremendous effects of these anti-values and values, what happens with hatred versus love, violence versus peace, bigotry versus inclusion and belonging and equality and justice. These can go into some beautiful discussions. One more thing. Should your preteens and teens question why people are allowed to have automatic assault weapons, answer them and perhaps allow them to become involved in advocating a ban along with educating hearts. It is the moral imperative of our time. With all good wishes to you and your family, this is Diane Tillman, the author of Nurturing with Love and Wisdom, Disciplining with Peace and Respect, A Mindful Guide to Parenting.